Sorry. Okay. Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. The meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members that do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program, what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Anita L., a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the newcomers. And I was happy that one of the newcomers is from outside of Philadelphia. So that made me feel right at home. I'm grateful to hear that. I live about 50, 60 minutes outside of Philadelphia and grew up in Atlantic City. So that's where I was born. Anyway, I wrote a little bit about my beginnings, so I hope that's okay that I can do that as well. Just to let you know that I truly am a compulsive overeater, and I believe that I crossed over from being a heavy eater to a compulsive overeater in fourth grade. So it's been many, many decades of eating compulsively in the past, and I am very happy to say this is a timely share that tomorrow will be 14 months of recovery. I'm truly grateful. It's only through the grace of my higher power, whom I do call God, that this miracle is happening to me one day at a time. Only, believe me, through God's grace. So I came into OA when I was 23. But to backtrack, so I was young, which I'm very lucky that I came in at that point. To backtrack though, my grandparents and great grandparents owned a rooming house in Atlantic City, which is today a parking lot for one of the casinos. And my great grandmother was the cook. And so I would stand next to her. And when she would put three or four of whatever down, I would pick one up and eat. And then the next, she'd put more down and I'd eat. Or she would give me, when I was very young, a cup of coffee in a little teacup, you know. And so there was like a third of coffee, two heaping teaspoons of sugar and cream. So I was basically, are you allowed to say food here? I was basically drinking a milkshake, probably at age five. So that was the beginnings of my compulsive eating. She was an excellent cook and baker, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And so, food meant love, food meant security and comfort to me. And I was raised in a dysfunctional family. My mom still is a compulsive overeater to this day, and my dad had mental illness. So I never knew what was I would walk into when I came home. So I clung on to food in the beginning, and then in second grade, I love to give hugs to my teachers. We walked home for lunch, and so I would give my teacher a hug, my second grade teacher, when I came to school, when I was going home for lunch, when I came back from lunch, and then at the end of the day. And I think that that is where I got a lot of comfort as well. My third grade teacher and then my fourth grade teacher, same thing. And so I always wanted to be a teacher because that's where, you know, I felt secure, and I did. and I worked with special needs children for 25 years. So I was always, let's say, a chunky kid, and I did have to go to a Chobet store once, and so demoralizing. I wrote all these notes down, but I won't hang out in my past. I just want to share that, though, that that is the beginning of where I felt guilt, shame, embarrassment. You know, back then the nurse would weigh me, weigh the class. The girls were in one line, the boys were in another. And the teacher, which or the nurse would shout out the number that we weighed, and that our teacher would record it in her book. And I was always the second heaviest in the class. And I was so grateful for that one other woman who was a little heavier than me, because I just felt mortified, you know, here the boys hearing, you know, how much I weighed, and it was terrible. And I'm sure there are others on the line who can relate to that. So I'll let you know that let's see, I went to graduate school, and that's when I lived with this woman. She was in nursing school. I was going to school to become a teacher of the deaf, and she was my Ebby. She was probably in her psych rotation at nursing school, and she handed me the Philadelphia Inquirer. And there was a story about a man who had been to a nationally owned weight loss group, Pay and Weigh, 5 times, and he could never keep the weight off. I don't know if he lost it all or what, but I went to that same program 5 times as well, and I never got down to the number. One time I was 2 pounds away, but it was time to go back to school. And I went to the food service and told them, you know, I need this many fish meals and whatever. And the first night they made fried flounder. So I knew it was hopeless. And by Christmas break, I put back on all my weight. Let's see. So this woman, was, even though she never went to a 12-step program, she understood the disease and recognized that me being her roommate probably needed help in Overeaters Anonymous. So I was 23. I was really angry at her. You know, what do you mean Overeaters Anonymous? I'm like 20 pounds overweight. I'm not that big. I overeaters in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking the worst. And 6 weeks later, I don't know what happened, but I had a mind shift, and I accepted the fact that this might be a place I needed to go to. I didn't know anything about anonymous programs back then, and I thought I was just going to another diet club, to be honest with you. However, that night I heard I have a disease. And most people, when they hear they have a disease, might be frightened. I was grateful because I felt like a failure my whole life. My father used to put me on diets. I could never stay on them. And I always felt less than, not enough, insecure, low self-esteem, you know, the whole guilt, shame business. So a lot of emotional baggage went on in my childhood and my teenage years. So I'll fast forward to coming into OA. Right before my first meeting, I went to a self-awareness program. You had to pay for it. And in that program, for the first time, I think I learned to love myself. And we had to go down into Philadelphia and let the people know what we got out of the weekend, the workshop. And I remember looking at people as I was walking down the street, looking at them in the eyes, and recognizing the fact, oh my gosh, I never looked people in the face before. I was always staring down at the sidewalk, I think because I was not feeling worthy enough for people to look within me, because then they would know my truth, that I'm a fake, I was popular in school, but I didn't feel it, and anyway, I'm grateful for that self-awareness program, because it was my avenue into a 12-step program. So I came into OA at 23, and that night, a man came up to me at the end of the meeting and said, "Would you like a sponsor?" And then his wife walked over next to him and he said to me, "You get two sponsors for the price of one." So whomever answered the phone was who helped me that, for that period of time. And then luckily I'm grateful, because at that point, OA in my mind was really like a diet club. And I got a job in South Jersey, and that is where my recovery really began. There were a group of women who worked the steps, lived the big book. So right away, I knew the big book was the answer. I was so lucky, and even though I didn't get what I get now, I listened to A Vision for You daily, and that is how I really understand recovery and the disease. I get what the disease is all about, because I hear the solution from so many people Monday through Friday when I listen to the meetings. But anyway, so when I moved down to South Jersey, I hung with these women, even though they were like 20 years older than I was. I knew they had what I wanted. And so from the beginning, I always gravitated to people with recovery. And I wanted that. It wasn't the weight. It wasn't so much that they were thin. Some were thin, some had more to lose, but they loved themselves. And I didn't love myself at the time. And that is one reason why I stayed in OA, because I needed to love myself. And gradually it came. And I remember one sponsor saying to me, "I want you to look in the mirror and give yourself a hug and say, I love you just the way you are, even if you don't believe it." And I didn't believe it. And it took, I don't remember how long, it took a little while for me to finally accept that I am okay, just the way I am. So, anyway, I moved many times when I was single, probably like 10 times, and in three different states. So I lived in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. And each place brought me closer to a power greater than myself. And to back up again, when I first came into OA, well, you know what? Even before that, when I was 16, my mother's friend who went to OA said to her, "Maybe Anita might benefit from going to this program." And my mother told me about it. And I asked a friend of mine who was heavier than me, did you ever hear of this program called Overeaters Anonymous? And she said, yeah, I went to a meeting that once, but they talked about God there. And I said, well, forget that. I don't want to hear about that. So when I came to OA, I wanted nothing to do with God. So I was agnostic. I always believed that God existed, but I wanted nothing to do with God. And I think that one main reason is because when I was 8 years old, my cousin, who was also eight, we were best friends. He was a guy, but I loved him so much. And he got some type of rare disease. And my dad said, I want you to go and pray for David. And so I went and I asked God, please help David to get well. And when I came back home, my father told me he had died. So why would I, trust God? Why? My best friend died after I prayed that he would get he become healed.
Needed those 15 minutes.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so anyway, it was many years before I gradually came to believe in a power greater than myself. And my idea of a higher power of God has changed dramatically from nothing to he, and then realizing that my father was a good re you know like a good deal of why I had a lot of problems. And I blame my dad a lot for my weight gain and everything. And then finally, I was willing to surrender that and never blamed him and made amends many times. But then I thought, well, maybe Mother Nature. So my higher power became she. Then it was he, she. And then a friend said to me, why do you need a pronoun at all? So today, my higher power is just this beautiful spiritual energy within me. So I'm not really talking about how I work the steps to get well. Just know it was a process. I had many years of relapse, however, many more years of recovery. And I used to feel like I was a failure when I was in relapse. And today I feel like that was God kind of like tapping me on the shoulder and saying, you need to go deeper, look within. And so that's what I did. And when I first came to A Vision for You in December of 2012, I didn't get a sponsor right away. I listened. And then, when I was finally willing to work with a sponsor, she took me through the steps reading the big book. And even though I told you guys from day one, basically, I always knew the big book was the answer. I did many step studies. I did an AWOL program. I always gave service. Even when I was in my 20s, I started meetings. I was an intergroup rep. I did a lot of service and eventually sponsored. But my sponsor called herself a guide, and we read the big book together. I answered questions, I worked the steps, and then I became recovered. And then she said, okay, now you need to give back what you've been given. So for today, I am currently sponsoring five people. Two have gone through all 12 steps, and the three others are currently at the beginning of the step process. So, step one, I can admit and accept the fact that I am just wired differently than normal eaters. I have a disease of compulsive eating. I'm a food addict, and in particular, sugar. That's where I always gravitated to. And in my last several relapses, I didn't play around with even flour products. I went right to the sugar because that's where I would get that effect that I was, wanting, needing. I needed to feel that comfort, that high, to numb out whatever situation was going on. And through the decades of being, I'm 70 now, so I've been in OA. This month is 47 years. I'm in OA, and I've surrendered foods gradually over the years, and today I have entire abstinence. And I think that that's one of the reasons why my connection with my higher power is so good, because I've had such great guidance over the years from different sponsors and guides in OA, listening to A Vision for You, hearing the recovery pretty much daily, because I listen to podcasts when I mi miss a meeting, and just having the willingness to want to be free. And that's what this program offers me: inner peace, self-love, and freedom. So, step two, I've come to believe. So that's all I have to do, is believe that a power outside of me, something bigger than me, can restore me to sane thinking, eating, living, and acting behaviors. And I want to get well because I didn't like who I was. Today, I am loving myself a lot of the time. Now I'm a grandmother. My grandson just turned one last week, and he loves me unconditionally. And I'm learning to love myself unconditionally as well as I do my higher power. So I have come to believe, because I've seen so many miracles happen in my life, that a power greater than myself will restore me to sanity. And I, step three, I make every single day the decision to turn my will. And I say the date today, Sunday, April the 6th, 2025. God, I surrender. I'm willing to turn my will and my entire life over to your care, seeking out knowledge of your will for me and to have the power to carry that out. And I have an action plan every day, because the night before I write my food down. I do an 11-step review that I send to my sponsor. And I write gratitudes. I write how God has carried me through the day and my food. So I don't have to worry. I wake up already knowing what I'm going to eat. So it makes life easy for me. Step four, made a moral inventory. And I was never really afraid to do that. I know people saying really horrible things about having to do the four step. I always knew it would bring me to a better place. And today I am brought to such a wonderful level of freedom by being able to see my patterns, the way that I reacted to people when I didn't get my way, and today I surrender those character defects in steps seven. I see them, and my sponsor helps me to see them in five, and then in six, I humbly, feel that I'm entirely ready to have God remove all these defects. I don't want to hold on to any of them. Because if I do, then that brings the darkness in. God is light. God is beautiful energy. And if I hold on to something that's negative, I won't be able to feel that positive energy. So in step seven, sometimes I've even held the papers with my character defects and given them up to God, and just humbly, graciously say, please, God, I can't let this go on my own. Please take this from me. Help me to live and be as you would have me. I give them to you, and in the time frame that you want that to happen. And then I let go. And sometimes they come back, like trying to control my son. I surrendered that. I was freed from that for a couple of years, and then it did come back for a little while, and now I'm free of it again, because working the steps is an ongoing process. Once I get to 12, I go back, and I'm lucky now I have sponsees. So I work the steps along with them. And so then that brings me to 8, making a list. Well, I didn't have to worry about the list because it comes from step 4, the people who I resented, and I go to my sponsor and ask her, do you think I need to make a direct amend to this person? Because sometimes I actually don't need to make that amend. And we talk about it. So I get spiritual guidance before I ever try and go to a person and make a direct amend. And there was someone who I wanted to make a direct amend, but God guided me not to do so because it would have been dangerous to my family. So I didn't bring that person back. However, I did write out the amend and I shared it with my sponsor and I gave it to my higher power. So I felt that I was free.
Needed that's 5 minutes left.
Okay, thank you. So after step 9, making amends wherever possible. Once I begin the 9-step process, I go right into step 10 because those defects of character are there. Even when I give them to God, sometimes I still will act out on them again. So if I do, then I need to do a 10-step process. And sometimes I write it out. There's a way of doing it. There's forms, and or I just talk to God about it or one other person, and I surrender. And after I'm okay with making an amend or clearing myself with another human being and God, then I call somebody, like it says in the big book. I call someone to give service to them because it's not all about me. It's about helping others. And then that brings me to 11. Oh my goodness, I can't say enough about step 11. I said when I came into OA, I wanted nothing to do with God. Then over the years, I tried to pray. I'd last in the beginning for like a minute. Then I worked up to 3 minutes. Now I have a meditation partner who I call every morning at 6 a.m. And we say 6 prayers together. We do a two-way writing next. We write a letter to our higher power. Then we meditate. Now we're up to 25 minutes. That includes, first, I say the set-aside prayer so that, I set aside everything I think I know about whatever, including my higher power, and ask to know God's truth. And so then I read a meditation book. I do a guided meditation, which I love every day. I've been doing it for 5 months now on surrender. I love this one meditation. And then I try and quiet my mind as well as I can and listen to my higher power. And then when the timer goes off, my partner and I, we write a letter from our higher power to us. And what I say is, God, Please let this be your message. Don't let it be my words. Please put your thoughts in my head, in my heart, and out through my hand so that I will hear what you want me to know. And I just put my pen down and start writing. And it's always beautiful. And I'm telling you, it's really my higher power talking. And miracles have happened. Trust me. If you want to know, you're welcome to call me, and I'd be happy to share several miracles that have happened just by doing a meditation. So step 11 means so much to me. And every morning when I wake up, before I even open my eyes, I say steps 1, 2, 3, and then the second half of 11. Seeking out knowledge of your will, God, for me, and to have the power to carry that out. So I love step 11. And then I also, in addition, every night do my 11 step review, where in the big book on page, I think it's 86, on before retiring at night, or however it says, I answer all the questions on an app. I type it out. I, put down my gratitudes, my food plan, etc., and I send it to my sponsor every night without fail. I've been doing that for about 5 years now, and that's part of my action plan because it's who I am. I'm seeing my truth. And then that brings me to step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of working these steps. I carry this message now to others who are still suffering. And so, geez, I hope I said something tonight that might help you guys. Just know that I feel like I am a miracle because I couldn't do it for decades. I could not stop eating compulsively. Here's a picture of me, which was 2005. So you can see, look at my face. You can see my higher power has released over 90 pounds. I stopped weighing myself at 204. And this morning I weighed myself just so I could share it. I weighed 114 and a half. So it's a miracle. It's, wearing the same clothes. I was going to show you several different pictures, but you can see I purposely wore this shirt. This picture was from 3 years ago. So it's possible. If it's possible for me, a gutter level compulsive overeater, it's definitely possible for you as well. And with that, I pass. Keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you so much.